You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today we'll be talking about kindness with Echo Jeff Kelly. Jeff has led the Seattle Soto Zen Sangha since 2009. In addition to his work with that sangha, Jeff currently shares the leadership of two groups within the Washington State Prison Complex in Monroe. Jeff came to the Seattle area from Minnesota, where he practiced Zen for 15 years at Clouds and Water Zen Center in St. Paul. He worked as a licensed architect for about 20 years before retiring in 2008. Jeff and I started a local Zen peer group that has been really meaningful to both of us. And even though he's from the other school of Zen, I still fraternize with him and really appreciate his advice and friendship. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Koshin. Glad to be here. So you're going to do that Rinzai Soto thing then?
Yeah, I'm going to play that card. Yeah, right. We'll be playing that all the way through.
Okay. Kindness, though, remember.
Oh, kindness. Thank you. I almost forgot. We are going to talk about kindness. Jeff, you've been considering it recently from a Zen perspective. What is kindness?
Well, first of all, maybe just from an ordinary perspective, It's pretty much what we think it to be. But I would say that kindness is a way of engaging with people or with engaging in anything. And kindness is a warm, generous, well-wishing, engaged, helpful. I think it's all those things.
And it's part of our practice.
It is. And it's part of the Buddhist tradition going way back. So what we're talking about today in terms of practice is often referred to as metta or loving kindness, which is a slightly different approach. I would say that metta is boundless. It radiates out and covers all beings. Of course, this is an ideal that we're talking about, but it's something we aspire to.
Rather than specific. So for instance, thinking, oh, I should be kind to this person or that person. You mean it's a more general attitude, would you almost say?
In a way, but I think it does include being kind to this person and that person. This is the opportunity of the moment for kindness. We're often brought up to believe that, well, I should be kind, you know, kindness to strangers. I should be kind to other people, but it's not really important how I treat myself. And so it becomes a should, and it becomes, discourages us, I think, the way we're usually introduced to it, to think of being kind to ourselves.
Aren't we in the Zen school a little too cool for that?
I think you are, Koshin, but I'm down a few rungs on the coolness factor. So I'm practicing kindness.
Yeah, I mentioned that because I think in the Zen school, we can feel a little bit cool. We can feel, you know, kindness isn't mentioned in our old stories all that often. And I agree with you that it's a practice that we need to practice, that we could use to remember in our school.
I do think it, I don't know if it was, it may have been there long ago, but I think in the way Zen has come to the West, we often don't hear much about kindness. So sometimes I think we need to supplement our Zen by bringing in specific practices from other traditions, like metta and compassion.
Well, we're a flexible tradition. We ought to be able to do that.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Jeff, what do you think the road to kindness is then? How do we work toward it in our practice?
Well, there are a couple ways, as you might guess. One way that we practice with many things is to notice the impediments to whatever we are cultivating. So we notice what are the obstacles to kindness, and to a certain extent that is, you know, self-centeredness or fear or anything like that. So we have the opportunity to look carefully at these things and look non-judgmentally, because I think kindness is not judgmental. So bring these things forward in our awareness and really let them be just as they are. And when we do that, the knots kind of loosen. And the energy that had been bound up in this opposition of me or them gets released, and it feels good.
And you can do that toward yourself too.
You can. So, as I said, one way is to notice the obstacles to kindness, and another way is to actually cultivate that positive quality intentionally. But getting back to your, we can do that for ourselves as well. Both of those ways of cultivating kindness apply to ourselves. So if we're, if we're perfectionists, we hold other people to high standards, but we probably hold ourselves to even higher standards. And so addressing that situation from both sides, notice how we hold other people to high standards and notice how often it creates problems. And then look back on ourselves and we discover, oh boy, I'm doing that to myself and even worse, I think. So sometimes I encourage people to look at, we often say we're beating up on ourselves, but to look at that actually as cruelty. And most people back off from that term and they don't want to think of themselves as cruel in any way. But if we think of our attitude toward ourselves as cruel, then we get a little more inspired to do something about it. And then there is this other possibility of cultivating kindness in a positive way, or shall we say, directly contacting this warm, generous, engaged feeling and encouraging it to expand. So I do this myself and find it quite helpful. And I encourage people to contact kindness wherever you can find it. So sometimes it's an exercise of the imagination, but it may be a small child that you're close to. It may be even an animal. It may be yourself as a child, but some person or thing that you want to be kind to without question, without judgment. So we contact that feeling, and it actually takes up residence inside of us, if you will. There is a felt sense. And when we can feel that, do feel that, we can encourage it to grow. We can kind of open up to it. And one of the traditional loving kindness practices is to contact loving kindness and then encourage it to expand to include others. So if you start with a small child, you might, after wishing kindness, after generating this warm feeling toward the small child, usually then you open it to yourself or you bring it toward yourself. May I also be happy and free from suffering? May I also be enveloped in kindness? And that goes against the grain oftentimes. But right off the bat there, we've included somebody other than ourselves and ourselves in this circle of warm, well-wishing energy. And already we've transformed how we're meeting the world in that moment.
That makes me think about meditation itself. I wonder if you think that kindness can help the very process that we're largely, or we spend a lot of time with in Zen, which is the process of getting quiet. Do you think kindness can help with that in some way?
I do. I think about that quite a bit, as a matter of fact. One way that it helps is, as I mentioned before, I think we have energy tied up in unkindness, in fear, in suffering. So if we can bring kindness, acceptance, non-judgment to those feelings, those thoughts that arise, we release energy and there's a calming effect.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, I think, you know, what we're often doing in meditation, or one way to describe what we do in meditation, is we're bringing awareness to whatever arises. And with that awareness, the mind tends to calm down. The important thing about that awareness for me is that it is non-judgmental and attentive and present. So we're really, in the way I think about it, meeting each thing that arises with, you might say, a kind awareness. Kind in that it doesn't judge, it doesn't evaluate, it doesn't measure, saying, well, this is good, but this isn't so good. It's just receiving everything. So I think that not only has a calming effect on the mind, but also shows us another way to engage with our world.
I think I agree completely. I think in particular, when we run into darker aspects of ourselves, when we're sitting in meditation, when we run into what we might call demons, the old demons, I find that approaching them with a measure of kindness and warmth can really make a big difference, because we're not used to doing that often.
I agree. You know, there's a Tibetan practice, I think it's called chud, but it's literally feeding your demons. I mean, it's making a physical offering to your demons and encouraging them to come. And in doing that, we turn our mind around.
Yeah, it really does turn it around. I sometimes teach that there are two kinds of love in Buddhism. I don't know if I'm saying that quite right, but that these two go back to the Buddhist time, metta and karuna. Can you tell us about those two?
I can give you my opinion on that, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that too, Koshin. So let me say a few things, and then I'd like to hear from you. I might have a particular way of distinguishing between the two, between loving kindness and compassion. For me, loving kindness, or metta, is this warm, generous feeling that we cultivate and invite or bring others and ourselves into this circle of warm, generous feeling. Compassion for me, or the way I like to think about it, is being willing to actually feel the pain involved, which for me goes a little deeper, in that the first is just the warm, generous feeling, but compassion calls us to do a little bit more, to actually feel somebody else's pain, or to actually feel our own pain without running away from it, without evaluating it. And I think when we do this, when we bear witness to another person's pain, all of a sudden, we're not so separate. All of a sudden, we feel their pain, and in that way, we're connected. We're feeling the same thing. Our suffering and their suffering becomes human suffering, and we're a part of the same thing.
I think you might be able to turn that around and say the same is true of metta. There's that great phrase, sympathetic joy, as one of the four immeasurables, in which we feel somebody else's joy as well. We feel that in a kind of warm, open-hearted way, rather than feeling jealousy or some other feeling that we might have.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one, really. It's almost easier to open to another person's pain than to actually, you know, feel joy at someone else's success or good fortune or just their own joy. It really is it really shows something up about the way we think and the way we operate.
I agree. I really like it for that very reason. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for coming in today and opening up this topic of kindness a little bit. It's a very important one thing, and I really appreciate the thoughtfulness you've put into it.
I appreciate the invitation, and sorry we can't talk a little bit more.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Crossing. For more information about the Puget Sound Zen Center, go to pszc.org.